So this morning we get to talk about the Midas touch. King Midas. He was a guy who everything he touched turned to gold. Wouldn't you like to be like that? Wouldn't you love to have everything? And it's a saying now, like everything they touch, they've just got that Midas touch. Everything they do just is successful. I know people like that. I know a guy who, doesn't matter what drawing it is, he puts his name in. I used to hunt with him for years, and he'd win shotguns, vacations, cars. I mean, this guy just everything he did, everything he touched. So years ago, when I came to Christ, I learned something. My pastor said, you need to get someone in your life that's going to be just like that Midas touch. I was 19 years old. I was a senior in college, and I was transferring from pre-law. I just discovered who Christ was in my life, and I was going into ministry of all things. And my pastor said, you need to pray for a wife. I said, you better believe it. And he said, you need to pray for a good wife, somebody who just is going to be better. I don't know how many people in here know what I'm talking about when you say you married up. Is there anybody in here that can relate to that? You married up? Yeah, right now all the guys, your hands had better be up in the air. For the rest of you, happy Easter and good luck when you leave this place. Or ladies, maybe you're thinking that. You've married up. What it means to marry up is someone who's better in your life, who's going to make you a better person. You need someone like that. So I remember I moved to Oklahoma and I was like, okay, God, give me, and I had expectations. I'm like, give me a wife. And I mean, to be honest with you, it was like, I wanted a little more than, Lord, just make sure she's breathing, that she's alive. Just give me somebody. I really kind of thought, well, make her kind of, you know, I'd like to have a good wife. I had no idea when you ask God to bring someone better in your life, just how good he can do when you give it over to him. And so I remember the first time we met, she walked through the doors of that college university's cafeteria. We were in there, and some friends of ours, mutual friends, had introduced us. And that day she walked in, the first time I ever saw her or ever said hi, she walked in, she had a blue two-piece outfit, a skirt outfit, vest, I mean business outfit. She worked for a guy named Dave Sigmund. She was already graduated from college with her degree in business. She was the right-hand executive secretary to Dave Sigmund from TRW, which is a worldwide company. She walked in and I saw her and I'm like, oh my goodness, there's no way. I mean, as I got to know her, as she walked through those doors, I discovered she was already graduated from college. She had an incredible degree. She'd spent 6 months in Africa on her own. She just got on a plane one day, said, I'm going to go do missions in Lusaka, Zambia, in the bush and help out missionaries. She played college basketball when her school at Lakeview, Michigan didn't have a basketball team for the girls. She played on the guys' team. She had a state record in the hurdles and track here in Michigan. She had four brothers, so I knew she could fight. And I'm like, this is incredible. And so, I mean, I remember so many, she lived in an awesome house with these roommates. These girls had half of a mansion where they had the other half where the mother-in-law had lived, and they rented this part out. And the first time we went over to hang out with a bunch of friends, they said, come on over. And I went to their house. They said, bring your swim trunks. So what are you talking about? They had an indoor swimming pool and jacuzzi. I said, God, I got to marry this girl. I'm going to marry up. I mean, just an incredible, humble person. In fact, when I started to say something, she leaned over to me before you guys all even were even going to hear any of this. She says, I don't know what you said in first service. Now, if you have those kind of conversations, you know I'm in trouble. Should I even say any of this? She says, I don't know what you said in first service, but if anything, you tell them or don't say anything about me. It's all because of Jesus Christ. She's a very humble woman. You not only have a wonderful pastor's wife, but I've discovered this. I have an incredible wife in my life that goes beyond what you get to see on any given Sunday, and she does a great job. So what did I do? My pastor said, you need someone in your life, you need to marry up. All of my kids, all five of my kids and my beautiful daughter-in-law can attest to this. They know I have married up. And on the second date, I thought, I got to get this girl before she gets to know who I really am. And so on the second date, we went for a walk. I went to kiss her. She said no. I checked my breath. I went to kiss her. She says, I'm not going to kiss another guy until I get married to the guy I'm going to marry. And I thought, okay. And before the night was over, I leaned in to kiss her. I said these words on our second date ever in our lives. After knowing her for a month, I leaned over and I said, I'm going to kiss you. And I want my breath, like my spirit, to go into your spirit. I want to grow old with you. I want you to have my children, and I love you. On our second date. Now, I don't know how many of you would say that on your second date, to say, I want my spirit to enter your spirit to be one and to grow old with you and that you'd have my babies. So 5 months, not hardly 5 months later, we were married and we've had five children, and this May we'll have been married for 29 years. So I think I did pretty good getting a hold of that. The reason I say that, I married her in 5 months because I thought if she really gets to know who I am, she might change her mind. And now she can't. Because she said, I do. And once she said, I do, she was done. And we've been married for 29 years. I married up. And I want you to know something. Easter is about marrying up. It's about coming into a relationship where the Bible says that Jesus is the groom and you and I are the bride. We say the church. Well, you and I are the church, not this mall. And Jesus invites you and I into a relationship. And as your pastor, can I tell you something? You need to pray about marrying up. And Jesus has given you an offer today. And here's what I know about Jesus. Is he worth having? Can I tell you, he is worth marrying up. When I was a kid, if I could pick anybody in this world, who would I pick to be on my team? When I was a kid, I grew up in a school, an elementary school in Vallejo, California. And I went to Stephen Manor Elementary School. And when I was there in third grade, I met a young African-American boy by the name of Wayne. We had this incredibly diverse community. And Wayne and I became extremely good friends. He ran like a jackrabbit. I mean, he was fast. I wasn't too slow then, but I was very athletic in skills. When we got out on the playground, when we had first pick your teams. Wayne would pick me or I'd pick Wayne. By the time we hit sixth grade in elementary school, in Mr. Collins' class, there was a rule on the playground. They said, Wayne and Mitch can't be on the same team. Because whether it was tetherball, dodgeball, funnel ball, wiffle ball, baseball, four square, it didn't matter what it was, Wayne and I never lost. And they said, you and Wayne can't be on the same team. So in sixth grade on the playground at recess every day, here was the rule. You guys are captains. You can't be on the same team. I said, this isn't right. And they said, it's not fair, because when you guys are on the same team, nobody can beat you. I want you to know something. There's a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. When you have him on your team, there is nothing you can't do. He never loses. That's who my God is. If I could say to you, would you like to pick someone in your life? Yeah, you could do well. But you can't do any better than picking Jesus Christ on your team. Because on the playground of life, he never loses. I don't care if it's finances, health, sickness, death, the grave. He's taken care of all of those things. And that's why we're here today on Easter. Because Jesus has never lost a single thing ever in his life. Even when the grave had him down, even when his body was filleted to the point where his bones were showing from being whipped, even from the point of being on a cross, even from the point of the world turning its back on him, he conquered death. He rose after 3 days. He appeared to over 500 people for 40 days, 40 nights. His grave is empty. His disciples died for a truth, and the whole world has been changed because he never loses. Give God some glory this morning. Put your hands together. And so this morning, I want to invite you into something. And here it is. Last year, I did something really weird, and some people freaked out. So I'm not going to freak you out today, and I don't understand this. Last year, I borrowed from one of the funeral homes a coffin, and I had it brought up here, a beautiful, like, $8,000 casket. We had it sitting up here. I thought about getting in it. And then when it was time for me to preach, opening up and sitting up. People said, that is morbid. Well, what's more morbid? We could have got our chicken wire, our paper mache, and made a nice tomb with a rock. And if I'd have rolled that away and walked out, everybody went, wow. Well, guess what? The tomb is today's casket. So I'm not going to do that today. I'm taking a different approach. I brought wedding bells. I want to invite you to a wedding because God is inviting you to pick him and to get married. I'm inviting you to a wedding today. And Jesus, the groom, is inviting you to be his bride. Some of you are dating God, and I understand what dating God is like. It's kind of like when you date, you know, you like the idea of the pleasure of their company when you like it and when you want it on certain given nights, but you like the idea of going home and having no obligations. There are people who are dating God. There are people who are kind of searching on God's dating site. Wonder what he's really like. I wonder if we'll match together. And I want you to, there are some people who have said, I do, and they've walked the aisle with God, and they've made a commitment. So God is inviting you today to join him. And I want you to know something. If you allow God to be a part of your life, then he will come and live with you forever. And I don't know about you, but on the playground of life, I want the best person possible. And so God, Rick, today is inviting you to join in. And you know the amazing thing is? He never loses. And I know Rick could pick me, or you could say, hey, Pastor, I really want you to help me out. I'd like you to pray over my family. I just want you to know something. I'm a human being. I had to get up and put my teal. Is it teal? Aqua? I don't even know. I don't get this whole, what are they called? Pastels. I don't get that, but I'm in pastels because my kids are in pastels. You know, I don't get all that stuff. I'm a pastor. I had to put my pastel on today. I decided whether I was wearing blue jeans or slacks. I had to decide if I was going to have coffee or orange juice or a banana. I had to decide whether I love God or don't love God. I had to decide whether I really wanted to come out here and preach to you today and go to church. And so if you say, hey, Pastor, will you come help my family out? I want you to know something. Man, I'll be on your basketball team. I'll be on your softball team. You want me as a golf partner? Give me a call. But I'm going to slice in the woods. I'm going to toss my clubs once in a while into the pond. Pastors do that? I don't think pastors do, but I do. Listen, I would love to be on your team. But I have Jesus on my team today, too. Can I tell you something? Get Jesus on your team. I know you call your parents to bail you out sometimes, younger people. I know sometimes you have a relationship that might be going this way and that way and you're not sure. Let me invite you. Make Jesus that person in your life today. Jesus is inviting you to a wedding and he would love to get married. Now, don't get weird on me. Jesus wants to get married. Jesus wants to enter into a covenant, and that's why he did what he did, is so you and I could be in a relationship with the best person you've ever met. So people are here and they're wondering, what does that look like? Well, you remember when you got married, those of you that got married, you came down the aisle and you stood here and you took a vow. Well, let me tell you about God's vows. Every wedding you go to, don't they all share the same scripture? You know that one that every single wedding? And now I will show you the most excellent way. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not boastful. Love keeps no records of wrongs. And it goes through that, the love chapter, right? 1 Corinthians 13. That's a wonderful, beautiful love chapter. Can I give you something today? I want to give you a chapter. I want to nickname it Romans chapter 8. I'd like to give you the victory chapter. I want to give you victory on the playground of life, in your home, in your marriage, in your relationships, in everything you do. Romans chapter 8. Let me show you. These are the vows. You remember when you took those vows, you know, you came up there and they said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and health, forsaking all others, until death do you part, where God has a vow for you. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, he has a couple of vows. He says, here's my promise. If you'll stand up here, here's my covenant with you. In Romans 8, 28, it says, this is wonderful, Chris. God's coming to you today and saying, I would love to have a relationship with you. And my vow to you in this wedding is this. And Jesus stands here and says, if you'll come into this relationship and say, I do, God says, all things in your life will work together for the good for those that love Christ Jesus. I don't know if you want all things in your life to work together for the good, but that is God's promise. I want him on my team. I want him in my relationship. Is that what you want? I mean, isn't that awesome? I mean, I don't know about you guys. Wouldn't you love to have that? This is God's promise. He stands before you and says, I'll do this. And then in verse 31, he says in Romans 8:31, let's go ahead and bring that up. He says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, help me. Who can be against you? I don't know. I just like to know in my life, when the world is coming at me, when I'm playing dodgeball, I'd like to know that Jesus Christ is in my life when I'm dodging everything the world and Satan is throwing at me, or a bad relationship, or who knows. And it's coming, and you go, man, if God is for me, he's on my team. Who you pick today? Well, I pick Pastor Mitch. No, I pick Nick. I want Nick on my team. Well, that's great. Who did you pick? I pick God. That's not fair. Why isn't it fair? Because God never loses. You can't have him on your team. Yes, I can. And he says in his vows, if I be for you, who can be against you? Wow, what does that look like? My dad, I understood this about my dad. When I understand if God is for you, who could be against you? My dad, growing up, was a sergeant detective of homicide and narcotics. My dad had the little Fu Manchu. He drove an old Ford Granada undercover. I mean, he was on cases. They were blowing. I mean, there was a contract out on his life from the Hell's Angels. I mean, people were trying to kill him. They blew up one of his partner's cars with him outside. It almost killed. I mean, I remember police protection, all this stuff going on. Someone asked me one time, were you scared? No, I wasn't scared. Why? Because my dad was a sergeant detective of homicide and narcotics. I remember growing up, that just was like everything to me. I mean, my dad had a black belt in karate. My dad was a gunner sergeant in Vietnam. I mean, my dad was like the baddest guy I knew. And I remember when I was a kid, there was three girls that lived in a house, the Mortensons, down on the corner. And Kelly Mortensen was my age. And Kelly used to hit me all the time. Guys, can you relate to this when you were younger? I asked my mom one day, I said, I'm going to beat her up. And my mom says, you don't hit girls. So I learned that. I said, I'm not sure she's a girl. You don't hit girls. I said, but why? She's always hitting me. She's always slapping me. She's always punching me. She's always kicking me. And my mom said, it's because she likes you. I said, she likes me a lot. This is true. My mom said, that's how girls flirt. Really? This, you know, as an 8-9-year-old, this is messed up. I remember one day, Kelly must have fallen in love with me. She had a jump rope, and she started hitting me with her jump rope. She's smacking me, and I said, that's it. I'm done. I don't care what my mom said. I don't care what anybody says. I stopped. I said, that's it. I'm going to beat you up. That was it. I was done. Now, you need to understand something. Kelly had two older sisters. I had an older sister. Kelly's older sister, one of them named Stacy, was feared by every boy in every fort that we ever built on our block. Stacy had these steel-toed boots called waffle stompers. Do you know what waffle stompers are? Back in the day, they were those things you stepped on the ground and they made waffle prints. And she had waffle stompers. And every boy on our block had the fear of Stacy in their heart because they'd been kicked more than once by those waffle stompers, those steel-toed. I told Kelly I was going to beat her up. And out of her mouth comes, I'm going to tell my sister Stacy. And she's got waffle stompers. I had enough. I didn't care about her waffle stompers. My sister was big-boned growing up. That's what she told us. And I said, my sister will beat up your sister. To which she then said, my mom will slap your sister. To which I said, my mom will beat up your mom. To which she said, my dad, Mort Mortensen, will beat up your mom. To which I said, my dad will shoot your dad. Game over. I know who my daddy is. My dad was awesome. And as a kid, my dad carried a badge, and that badge meant he could do anything, and there was no one that could beat my dad. I want you to know something. You come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you get a dad in this relationship. And he's got the badge of badges. He is not limited to any buildings or any enemies. If God is for us, who could be against us? Give God a hand this morning. You've been dating religion. You've been kind of checking this thing out. Can I tell you something? You don't have a dad until you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You want him on your team. You got to make a commitment. Because a long time ago, I know the vows of God. If God be for us, who could be against us? Look at the next one. The next one after Romans 8:31 and Romans 8:37 or 35 says, "What shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of God?" Some of you know today, it's hard to really come into a relationship with God because you've been through some horrible relationships. Some of you have been so brokenhearted, you don't trust. How can God love me? Some of you have been through some horrible divorces and relationships. I quit. Some of you have been disappointed by God, not because you were committed in the relationship, but because you checked him out and he wasn't worth dating to you because he didn't pick up the tab. He didn't heal you. He didn't fix the problem. You were on a date. Listen, God will fix all your problems, but you got to commit into the relationship. And so you let the ring go, and you've been hurt. Can I tell you, who shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? There's nothing in this world that will ever separate you from God's love. You are not bad enough, trust me. I've met people that have told me, heaven doesn't want me and hell's afraid I'll take over. And I said, don't flatter yourself, you're not that bad. I've met people a whole lot badder than you. God says, I'll commit myself to you if you come up in this relationship. My vow is I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Neither demon, nor angel, nor height, nor depth, nor past, nor present, nor future will ever separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. The only one that can separate you from God's love is you. You're the only one that can break those vows. When you break those vows, there's only one result when you break a vow with God: death. Someone dies. Adam and Eve broke a vow. Death came. All of a sudden, death entered the world. Cain killed Abel. Murder entered the world. 35 million women and boys are trafficked this very day. 35 million. Because we broke vows. We can't even be good enough to not sell little children on the streets. We have people invading countries. We have pornography that we can't even decide is illegal, the idea that we degrade women, and it's accessible on your phones here today. You don't even have to go secretly hide somewhere. We live in a world that has taken the ring of God and said, we don't care. And death entered into this marriage. And someone had to answer this question. Who's going to pay for that death? And Jesus stepped up and said, I do. He says, I'll be the groom if you'll be the bride. And he stepped up on Easter and he made a promise. And he conquered the worst thing on the playground that you'll ever face. And every one of us will face death. Let me ask you, on that day when you face death, who are you going to have on your team? Who are you going to have on the playground in that moment to get you past death? Let me close with this. Somebody's going to come up and just play on the piano, I think, or not, or I will. Oh, here he is. Here's my brother. Let me close with this. It's Easter. You know, I got married 29 years ago this May, and I married up. I got a woman who has been to their children such a strong presence. I always say they go to their mom because she's easier on them. I think they go to their mom because she is so good. I'm a pastor of a church that just blows my mind. I mean, you guys here, I mean, our first service, we had more people in our first service than we had in our church 3 years ago. We've seen more families, more lives change and transform. We've had over 60 people in the last month trust on Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. I've watched God do things in spite of me. You know what? I'm on the playground. I feel like I keep just dropping the ball. I feel like God says, here's a glove. Let's play catch. I keep getting hit in the nose. I go, I'm not really good at this, God. He goes, You're horrible, Mitch. I go, well, then why did you pick me to be on your team? He said, because I'm the captain. I'm in charge. I'm better than you. That's why I picked you, so we could be on the same team. You see, my wife said to me before I got up here to preach, just as we finished our last song, please don't say anything great about me. Just say, I don't know what you said, is what she said, actually. But it's all because of Jesus. She's trying to get me to not even say anything because she's embarrassed, I know, right now, and I'm going to hear it when I get home. So anybody have any plans, an opening for Easter dinner? I know that God picked me. And I still kind of shrug my shoulders on days going, why did you pick me? Because some of you right now are in those relationships where you're like, God, I can't do this. I'm broken. I know you're broken. He has the restoration of your brokenness and your broken plate. That's what Easter's all about. He showed up on the playground of death, and he conquered death so that on that day, on the worst game of four square basketball, whatever, on the worst day when you're kind of breathing your last, you're about to pass into that unknown, he says, I will take you by the hand, and I have conquered death, and I'm going to raise you up into eternity. I want to tell you what happened to a Jewish boy 2,000 years ago. This is beautiful. Most of you probably don't know this. But when, for thousands of years, when a young Jewish boy fell in love and he met the girl and he saw the girl he loved, he went to her dad. Because back then, dads actually meant something to these boys. He says, I would like to marry your daughter. And the dad would say, huh, you want to marry my daughter? And three things would happen before that marriage. He said, yes, I'm in love with her. I want to marry her. And that young man had to do three things. The first thing is he had to make a promise or a covenant. He had to make an oath. And so he had to swear. He had to say, I swear. And he made this oath. And that's where we get oaths from. And he'd make this contract. And the contract was, I'm going to marry your daughter. The second thing he did is he would take a cup and he'd drink a cup of wine to seal the deal. And the third thing he did, when he did this, he made the contract, he sealed the deal, and then he had to pay a price to the dad. You see, the girls didn't work. And so for that guy to raise that girl, for that father to raise his daughter, it cost a lot of money, and he wasn't getting money back because she didn't go out in the fields and work. So the boy had to come in and pay the father a price, a huge, huge price. Three things. So Jesus came in, and he made a promise. He said, here's my contract with you. I'm going to die, and after 3 days, I'm going to conquer death. And to all who call on my name, I will raise you to life. I'll give you eternal life. Anyone who says to me in this contract, I do, you'll be saved. The second thing he did is he took a cup, a glass of wine, and he raised it up. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant. And he took it, he drank it, and he sealed the deal. And then he went to a cross and he paid the price to the Father, because we broke the relationship with Adam and Eve. Someone has to pay with their life. And Jesus said, Father, I'll pay the price. And he gave his life and he paid the price. And then you know what the son did? Or the boy did? The boy, after doing those three things, he said, I'll be back for the wedding day in 7 days. And he took off. And he went back to his father's house, and he prepared the house. He got it ready for his wife, and he got it ready for his bride. So he went to his father's house for 7 days, and he got it all prepared. And then he came back, and he got his bride, and he took her, got married, and then took her to the father's house. So Jesus made a contract with you and I, saying, I'm the Son of God. Anyone that wants eternal life, come to me. He sealed the deal with a cup of wine, and he paid the price. And then he's gone to the Father's house, and he's preparing a place for his bride. And he's going to come back on the wedding day and says, I've got a place for you. Wow. So So here it is. I want to give you an opportunity. Some of you have been dating God way too long, and it's time to fish or cut bait. Some of you are just going, you know, I haven't really thought of it that way. I want to give my life to Christ. When my wife and I walked up, we said, for richer, for poor, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. And we sealed the deal. And she's been paying the price. So here's my question for you. In just a couple months, my second son, like my first son, a little over a year ago, that beautiful bride came walking down the aisle. She came walking down the aisle. And she came forward to say her vows and to say, I do. Have you ever done that? Maybe you've been around God, you're near God, you know God, you're there, but you've never sealed the deal. You've never said, I do. I'm going to invite you to stand up. Let's close our services away. Everybody stand, please. And I'm going to invite you to do this. I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I don't know if this is you or not, but I want to pray for you. And if you've never given your life to Christ, well, let's start with this. Today is a good day to renew your vows. You've already fell in love with God and you're in Him. And maybe today you just want to renew your vows. You're a Christian, but you just want to renew your covenant with God. I'm going to ask you right where you're at just to slip your hand up. Say, Pastor, today's a good day to renew my wedding vows with God. I'm just going to say, God, today I'm committing my life to you all over again. Maybe you've been struggling with that and you just want to renew that. Raise your hand. I see hands up all over. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. All over the place. In this area, over here. Yes. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you've never committed to say, I do. I'm going to ask you this morning to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Get Him on your team. Commit your heart to Him for better or worse. Richer or poor, sickness and health, until death. And by the way, He says, until death, we won't part. I took care of that too. If you would like to give your life to Jesus today, trust in Him. I'm going to start over here to my right, your left. I'm going to start with that section. If that's you, I want you just to look up at me, make eye contact with me. You're giving your life to God. Just look up at me. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Go ahead and put your heads down. In this next section, middle section here to my right, if that's you and you're going to give your life to Christ today, I do. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, put your heads down. Over here to my left in this center section, if you're giving your life to Christ, they say, and I do, just look up at me, make eye contact. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. All over this place. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Over here to my far left in this section, just look up at me right now. If you're giving your life to Christ, saying, I do. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Oh, all over the place. Yes. You can put your hands down in the back. Yes, sir. Yes. Go ahead. I want everybody to look up. I do weddings. I got a ton of weddings I'm doing this summer. I'm so excited because you know what? They're getting together, and I love young couples because here's what they do. We're so in love. I ask every couple that comes in my office for 6 months of counseling, you still want to get married? First question out of my mouth in counseling, you still want to marry? You still want to do? Are you sure you want to do this? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then on their wedding day, I actually ask that question on that day, give them an out, right? Parents have got to love that. What's the pastor doing? You still want to do this? Yep. Because this is forever. Yep. Can I tell you something? This is forever. And I don't care if you're 70 years old, right, Tom and Barb? And you come in. I ask you that question every meeting. And then last Christmas, you guys got married. Still doing good? Is he doing all right? You sure? He's doing great. I love you guys. I want to ask you this question. They all come walking down. The bride comes walking down the aisle. Why? Because she's showing, I'm here. I'm coming forward. I'm going to invite you real quickly just to do one more thing. I want to pray with you up here just like we did in the first service, and so many came. I'm going to ask you right now if you're saying, yes, I'm going to walk that aisle. I'm going to say I do before God and these witnesses. Do you take this woman to be? Yes. So before God and these witnesses, I'm going to ask you right now just to say to the person next to you, excuse me, I got to go down there. Go ahead and do that right now and just make your way down here. I just want to pray with you as we close. Do that. Go ahead and have that courage. I know we do that in weddings, and the bride, she comes down here and everybody sees her. I'm going to invite you to do that. Come on down. Just tell the person next to you, excuse me, I got to go up there. Just make your way. Go ahead and do that all over this place right now. You're just letting people know, come on, come on down. It's all right. Just tell that person, excuse me, I got to go down there. I'm going to seal the deal. I'm saying I do today. I'm praying to receive Christ into my life, and I'm going to make my way from the left, the center, the middle, the back, the front. Make your way down here. Seal that deal. God bless you guys. You come up here. We're not in any hurry. We're going to do that. Anyone else, you want to just say, I want to seal the deal. Oh, God bless you. You know, it's one thing to say, I know who God is. It's another thing to say, I do. That is a commitment, a covenant. Keep moving up here. Come on up here. Keep coming up. Anybody else, make your way out. Tell that person next to you, it's okay. This is the day on this Easter that you get to say, you know what? I've known about God my whole life, but on this day, I sealed it with God to say, I do. I commit my life to you. Come on up here. Yes, sir. Amen. All over the place. Let's pray. We're going to pray together. Are you ready to do that? And all that goes with this, listen, when you get married to God, all that He has is all that you get. Because that's what a marriage is. It's sharing that. So you get to give Him all of, well, you get to give Him your sin and all of your wonderful things. You get to give Him your heart and your life, and He'll give you all that He has. So we're going to pray this together out loud, all of us. Let's pray this together. Those of you that said, hey, I'm renewing my vows, let's all bow our heads and pray this out loud together. Dear God, today is a new day. I believe in Jesus, that He forgives my sins. Today, I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. I say to you, I do. Come into my heart and be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give these folks up here a hand. Wait, before you go, those of you that came up, let me just say one more thing. Let me tell you, when the groom went away, as Jesus has to prepare a place for us, you know what the bride was doing for those 7 days? And this is a tradition and custom. Now you'll know where this comes from. She would take a white veil or a white dress, and she would put that on. And here's what it said. It said, as I wear this, there's no other quarters. Other men can't say to you, hey, you want to go out? She would have this on, and it would say to the world, hey, hands off, I'm taken. So I want you to know today that God has placed on you a white robe, a white linen, a new life. And it's to say to the world, hey, say to the devil, hands off, I'm taken. You can't have me. I'm taken. I'm already married. And I'm just waiting for my love to come back to take me to His house. So now that you have that, let me encourage you to do that across this place. That's what Easter is. And that's what it is. It's a covenant of God. God bless you, Father, as we go from this place. We go to live knowing who our daddy is, that we are in a brand new relationship and all things are new. Let us go into the world and share that love in Jesus' name. Amen.